Matthew 5, 13 through 16. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
We're glad for each one of you being here this morning. It's good to be able to always look forward to our first day of the week, the occasion that brings us together to worship God, to have His Word to be guided by. Our Father continues to love us and speak to us. He communicates things that will help us on our daily journey. He's longing for us to be with Him one day, and this is the means by which He helps us to get there. And so as we go through life, no matter what we're going through, what things that we face, we have words to help us and to encourage us to provide for every kind of need that we could have in this life. And as we go through life, things change over time. There are new things that people in generations gone by haven't maybe gone through or experienced in the exact same way that people have today. But there's a real sense in which temptations and trials are all of the same sorts. They just present themselves in new fashions. Our subject today, as we study together, relates to social media cautions. Now, this is something that is a newer phenomenon that people are faced with today, a way of communicating, a way of interacting with people in various places. Social media has been defined as computer-mediated tools that allow people to create, share, or exchange information, career interests, ideas, and pictures, videos, in virtual communities and networks. So, typically when people think of social media, they think of Facebook, they think of Twitter, some of the other popular ways that people communicate and keep in touch with friends and family, other people that they may know. Sometimes people link up with people they don't know because it's a friend of a friend. So there's just different ways that people may try to use or do use social media. And of course, there are ways with anything that they can be used in a good fashion, and ways that things can be abused. That's been the case with lots of different types of technologies, and that's certainly the case with social media. People connect with friends and family that they live far away from, and so they use it in that way to be able to let people know how things are going with the families, things like that. And so these are ways that people do communicate. But at the same time, there are realities that have been observed with the abuses of such technologies that we need to be cautious about, we need to be aware of, so that the dangers that are out there can be understood and we can avoid harming ourselves, harm coming to our families, our children, because these things are very real and we need to be cautious about them. When we read from Matthew chapter 5, as we did a moment ago, verses 13 through 16, we're reminded about the fact that as Christians, we are the salt of the earth. We're to be the light of the world. That speaks to our example, our influence, how we present ourselves. And so it's certainly the case that the way we act, the way we conduct ourselves as Christians, needs to be reflective of the fact that we are children of God. That's true, whether it's in person or whether it is behind a computer screen where we don't have direct contact with faces, with people. We're to be at all times the same kind of person because we remain Christian people. And God's word should guide us in everything that we do, in every word that we speak, in every way that we present ourselves to the world around us. It should be consistent. And it should be consistently salt and light. Positive way of presenting ourselves and communicating to the world around us. This morning, as we study together concerning social media cautions, we'll just look at two things. We'll talk about personal cautions and we'll talk about family cautions. So as we talk about then, beginning with this idea of personal cautions, we'll just look at a few things that can be observed that we ought to think about in terms of using social media. One thing that is observed when you talk about the use of social media that's commonly talked about is time wasting. You know, because it's so easy to access the social media. You can get on your computer, but you can also access it through your phone. Typically, people carry their phone with them at all times. And so often, it is a constant source of distraction. So people can be on social media and engage with that, that form of communication anytime they want to. It could be 24 hours a day. People can have alerts go off. You can have a little beep. It could go off in the middle of the night. People could check. It happens. But it can be just a constant form of communication, but also distraction to people, to where it actually becomes a distraction from the realities and our responsibilities in life. Typically, one of the things that is observed is that when people post and read on social media, many of the things that are posted and many of the things that are read pertain to trivial and really meaningless information. It just really relates to nothing important. And so much of what is posted, so much of what people read, relates to things that amount to a waste of time because it is not valuable in any means whatsoever. And so it's important to consider how we spend our time. Isn't it true that as Christians we are stewards of all that God gives us, including the time that we spend? Do we have so much time spent with such things as this that we're not praying to God much? We're not studying His Word much? We're not involving ourselves in the work that we should be doing individually, personally, as Christians, but we're involved in a lot of time spent on social media, connecting, as we might say, but yet not really getting anywhere, not really accomplishing anything. It's something to consider. Now, that's not to say that you cannot use social media for productive, good purposes, even including getting in touch with people that you could then try to reach with the gospel. It can and it does find use in those ways at times. But so many times, maybe you could say most of the time, it becomes a waste of time for people because there are not boundaries set. There are not limitations, self-imposed limitations set on social media. And so it becomes a waste of time. Sometimes it is used at inappropriate times. Forbes.com had an article concerning time wasting. And it said 64% of employees visit non-work related websites each day. In this category, the amount of time wasted per week on non-work related websites is as follows. So it has a little chart there. Less than 1 hour, 39% of employees. 1 to 2 hours, 29% of employees. 2 to 5 hours, 21% of employees. 6 to 10 hours, 8% of employees, and 10 plus hours, 3% of employees wasted time on non-work-related websites. And it says, contributing to these percentages are social media networks. The winners for the time loss warp are Tumblr, 57%, Facebook, 52%, Twitter, 17%, Instagram, 11%, and Snapchat, 4%. And so this relates to people involving themselves with these various websites when they're getting paid, when they're supposed to be working. Another phenomenon that does happen as well is that even in the midst of worship services, when we're supposed to be offering worship to God, people are on social media, responding to things that they're receiving, replying, text messaging, things like that, when we are actually in worship to God. Surely we can understand how that would be to God, who our attention is to be devoted to, who we are offering up spiritual sacrifices to. It's something that we ought to really consider and think about. Our time is important, and we should use it wisely. We know in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, we're told, "See then that you walk circumspectly," or "live carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Certainly, we think about the importance of what God has given us in our lives. One of the things that we are blessed with is time to spend in life doing various things. And since we belong to God as Christians, we've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Since we have the greatest work in all of the world to be doing, and that work involves preparation through studying God's Word, shouldn't those types of things be what we spend the bulk of our free time doing? Since those things pertain to eternity, eternal life, our own salvation, the salvation of other people, the future of our families. These things are of such great importance. Time is very important. And another thing, in addition to time wasting in regard to personal cautions that we ought to think about, is the point concerning neglect. Neglect. Sometimes involving oneself in social media can become so time-consuming that we're neglecting people around us. Children are neglected sometimes. People are on their phones, keeping up with social networking, and their kids are in need. Their kids might be talking to them, trying to get their attention, and they don't have time for that. That can be happening at home. That can be happening in restaurants. That can be happening in various places. People are consumed. It becomes such a distraction to what we're supposed to be doing in life that even children are being neglected by parents so consumed. Sometimes a spouse is being neglected because individuals are catching up with old relationships, involving themselves with communications with people in other places. And it is so such a passion for them that their immediate connections and relationships become uninteresting, not as important. At least that's what's communicated by the lack of time that is spent or the neglect that begins to take place. Of course, we've already talked about the neglect that takes place in terms of one's own work, at his or her occupation. And again, prayer and Bible study at times are neglected as well because this becomes one of the many things that people spend time doing. Just like for decades, people sometimes become distracted with television and other media forms of things that distract them from doing the work that God has given them to do. So it's always been and continues to be. Here's just a new form of distraction that we need to be careful of because responsibilities in various ways are being neglected because of the pull in this case, of social media. Another aspect of personal caution that needs to be considered relates to personal temptations. Personal temptations. You've probably observed on Facebook or other forms of social media the practice of self-promotion, self-exaltation, making oneself appear very great in the eyes of others. And this, of course, is unfortunately not an uncommon practice. You have people at times that present actually an image of self that is not representative of the reality of self. And that's a sad thing, of course, because people often seek approval through this online medium. And so the constant friending of various people is a way of getting self-affirmation. And so they post things, present things about self that often are one-sided. And it's all sometimes in an effort to seek an approval that they may feel lacking in. As we think about our own selves and what the Scriptures talk about self and seeking approval, the approval that we need to seek, of course, is from God and relates to the life that we live before Him, whether or not it's in accordance with His will. And as it pertains to our relationship with other people and how we view ourselves versus other people, the Scriptures speak to that as well. In Philippians chapter 2, listen to Paul's words by the Spirit in verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. When new things come along, like social media, we have to consider old words that have been spoken that tie in, that relate to the same principles that have been around since the beginning, that relate to human conduct, that relate to self-perception and how we engage with other people, and make sure that what we do and how we present ourselves, how we act and speak, communicates things based on these truths and these ideals that are given to us in God's Word. Again, we should be consistently the same always before the world. Another temptation is not only the temptation of self-promotion, but the temptation of unfaithfulness. A CBN news article noted, "Facebook's claim to fame is its power to connect you with the people around you. But with nearly a billion users, experts say those connections are causing a growing number of marital separations." Attorney Keith Denon, a social media specialist, said these days Facebook has nearly replaced the need for costly private investigators in divorce proceedings. Now, he says, all we got to do is sit at our desk and find out all the things that you are doing, he said. New studies estimate more than a third of all divorce filings last year contained the word Facebook. And more than 80% of U.S. divorce attorneys say they've seen a rise in the number of cases involving social networking. So, of course, what is happening is people are connecting with individuals either that they never knew, but they develop relationships with, or people from their past that they are rebuilding relationships with. And often that is secretive, sometimes not. Sometimes it's even out there and people can see what's being posted and being said. But the point is, the heart is drifting. And we wonder if the heart was ever truly faithful to begin with. This is just another means of allowing that heart to be tested and its faithfulness to be tried. Of course, Jesus speaks to us about faithfulness. And of course, men and women may be different because of the nature that they have, how they're created physically. Men can fall into temptation by what they see posted online, images, photographs that women may post of themselves. And women oftentimes are drawn because of the communication that they develop with the people online and the things that begin to happen in their dialogue back and forth with various men and the relationships that are built that way. And so there are the seeds of unfaithfulness that are sown by those means, and that then we either turn away from and say, I will not go down this path, or we are enticed to follow. And tragic things have and do result. Even in the church, these things are happening. Jesus in Matthew 5, verses 27 and 28, said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So, men and women have a responsibility to control the eyes, what we look at, what we view. Turn away from such things, have no part in viewing that which will be a stumbling block, an enticement to sin. Men chiefly fall that way, but it can happen with women as well. But consider this also, because there's responsibility not only for the one who would look, but what about the person who posts? Is there not a responsibility there as well for putting that which serves as the stumbling block? A point is made by Jesus in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7 concerning occasions to sin, concerning what is translated sometimes as offenses. He says there, "Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes." That's the New King James Version. The ESV translates it this way, "Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes." So, yes, there are temptations all around us. What Jesus says is, you don't want to be the means by which someone is tempted. You should never do anything that tempts someone else to sin. Now, if you post images of yourself that cause another person to sin, you can't just argue, well, they shouldn't look at that. No, we have a responsibility to not lay a stumbling block before someone else and become a part of their sin. And that's true whether it's online or in real life. We have to do such things, act such ways, dress such ways that we will not cause others to sin because of this general principle that we can apply specifically to situations like that. Unless we think that such things are only a problem for dirty-minded people, consider that which the Spirit led Job to write in Job 31 in verse 1 and following. But verse 1 says of Job, he made this statement, "I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman?" This was written by a man who the Bible presents, first chapter, first few verses, as a man who walked with God, whose life was honorable. And yet here was a man, because he was human, that made a covenant with his eyes because he didn't want to fall in this fashion and commit sin. This is a reality for human beings. Just because we are human, we have to be cautious. And we certainly don't want to be the cause of somebody's sin. Of course, there's also the temptation to be critical of others. Sometimes people are critical of their peers. They say things to people online that they wouldn't speak to them face to face, as if there is no accountability that's going to have to be given. In Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we're told, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one." And yet sometimes that's what happens. People even began to criticize and speak against their own brethren publicly on social media. James says in James 4, verse 11, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law." If we have a problem, a legitimate issue that has come up between ourselves and our brothers and sisters, how are we supposed to handle that? Doesn't Jesus address that in Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 15? "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, and by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector." The Lord tells us how to deal with personal problems in a God-guided way. And that is not being practiced by some members of the body of Christ. And that's bringing shame and reproach upon the church. Some will even speak evil of leaders. And while we may disagree completely with how leaders may make decisions and what they represent, we have to be cautious about what we say. Remember these words: "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh, or the lust in the flesh of uncleanness and despise authority. They are," he says, "presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord." It's okay to say such and such conduct is not in keeping with God's will, but sometimes language goes from disagreeing to speaking evil of, and that should never be the case with Christians against any person, including our leaders. We must be cautious. But just briefly, consider some family cautions. You know, Facebook has age limits. I think presently it's age 13. You have to be at least 13 to begin to be involved in that social media network. But it's not uncommon to have children ages 8 to 12 who are already online because either they or their parents have misrepresented their age. They've lied about it. And so they're on earlier than that. There are concerns because of what happens to children and how they begin to deal with what they experience online. In his book, Talking Back to Facebook, James Stainer, he says, "Digital media, some experts believe, may also have an important role in reshaping certain aspects of children's identities and personalities. Child development experts note that young people's tendencies to develop their personalities on Facebook could be a major factor in what Sherry Turkle has termed presentation anxiety, the process of constantly presenting your profile, likes, dislikes, and relationship status to the broader world can be emotionally stressful, especially for more vulnerable youngsters. Kids can experience deep insecurity as they try to create a perfect profile, choose the right pictures to post, and express the identity they want to present to their hundreds of Facebook friends. One of my younger teenage daughter's friends recently told me that she spent several painful hours trying to decide which music groups to list as her favorites on Facebook because she knew she would be heavily judged for the choices. Normal anxieties, which are a part and parcel of childhood and adolescence, can be dramatically magnified." So, you know, this is just a brief mention of all the types of things that need to be considered when you look at your children going online into social media. There are a number of books that have been written. That's one of them. And I would encourage parents to either check some of these books out from the library, purchase them, but look at what you need to be aware of. Make yourself, because we cannot possibly deal with everything that should be considered. But there's also, of course, bullying that goes on online. Your children can be attacked by other kids online. And things can be said. There have been kids that have committed suicide because they have been so felt so oppressed and overwhelmed by what they received through social media. And there is the phenomenon also known as sexting. You've heard of texting. Well, sexting, a sext as opposed to a text, is defined as a sexual text message or sexually explicit photo that is delivered by text message. Now, Sean Marie Edgington made a statement in her book, The Parent's Guide to Texting, Facebook, and Social Media. And here's what she mentioned. 39% of teens have admitted to sexting, and 51% of teen girls feel pressured to send explicit photos, with the numbers increasing at an alarming rate. Not my child is what parents want to believe, but the statistics show there are many teens participating in this racy and growing trend of sexting. Take sexting one step further to the brink of total destruction when you realize that the recipient of a sext has the ability to easily forward and share these inappropriate photos or messages with anyone he or she chooses. Who knows where these pictures could end up? The possibilities are frighteningly endless. The second a child hits the send button or uploads a photo to the internet that includes a sext, serious consequences that can result are these. And she gives the potential to be arrested and charged for child pornography, requirement to register as a sex offender, humiliation among peers because a once private photo was posted online and or forwarded to others. Injuries, suicides, and attacks can be the end result. Attraction of stalkers, online predators, hazing, name-calling, sexual harassment, textual harassment, or sextortion, possible expulsion from school. So it's a pretty big deal when you start looking at the problems that are out there. Again, we understand that, you know, there are positives, there are benefits that can be seen to using, but you also have to be very aware of the dangers, of the cautions that must be understood and prevented against. So, of course, children are exposed on Facebook to crude language, profanity, all types of inappropriate things if cautions aren't taken. Precautions aren't taken. And so there are various things that parents can do, of course, to guard against these issues. Of course, self-education is one of the main things. Filters are involved. You can decide whether or not this is even worth it to go down this road. You can, as parents, of course, be monitoring very carefully what is being communicated by your children on Facebook, and that should be the case. And the thing we need to remember as Christians when it comes to social media is that we are, once again, as Matthew 5 reminds us, we are salt of the earth, we're the light of the world. And everything that we do and say and communicate should be consistent with what we are in reality. And, of course, we have to protect ourselves and our loved ones against the dangers that are out there and be very cautious, because these things could be a very negative influence on our spiritual journey. Where God wants us to be one day can be affected by the choices that we make in the here and now. Hopefully, as we live our lives, we will draw close to God through His Word, and we will cling to Him as His children. It may be that you're not a child of God this morning and desire to have your past, your sins cleansed, and your life made right with God. You can do that through coming to the Lord on His terms and obeying the gospel. That is, you can believe in Jesus Christ, that He is God's Son. Repent of your past sins, acknowledge your faith in Jesus, confess that, and be baptized, where your sins are washed away by His blood. And then live that faithful life as He calls you to in His Word. If you've wandered, if you need to return to the fold, if you need to be restored, we can help you with that as well. We encourage you to come, and we can help you as we stand and as we sing.